Ephesians chapter number 5. I personally can't get over what God has done for me, saving me. And from time to time, becoming so real. He's real all the time, but sometimes becoming so real in my own heart, my own life, and I thank him for that today. And young folk, I want to say to you, what a blessing. What a blessing. See the young folk up there singing and raising their hand for Jesus. I tell you, that's worth more than all the world can ever give them. And I sometimes stop and think, Lord, thank you. I want our young folk to know how to worship God and not be ashamed to obey the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody doesn't shout like Brother Mark, but I can guarantee you God was in it. And everyone doesn't cry like I do, but I guarantee you God's in it. And somebody, and I've told y'all before about a fellow down in Wildwood, North Carolina, he never cried, he never shouted, but he said, Preacher, my liver quivers. Some people's liver just quivers, but something's happening inside of them. And it's good, and I praise God for it. And this morning, we're talking about the contrast and the comparison of the being drunk with wine, where's excess, and being filled with the Spirit. And I want to pick up on that again tonight, but not in the contrast or and so forth and comparing with, but I want to talk about that. And I titled the subject this morning, The Greatest Need the Church Has. And I still say it's the greatest need that we have. Greatest need that I have, greatest need that you have, greatest need this church has is that we be filled with the Spirit of God. And I tell you today, God has let us at least have a touch of that presence of Him in a special way. And He's always here because he comes in every believer. And he said, if two or three meet in my name, I'll meet in the midst of them. And he never has told us a lie. So we know he's here. But sometimes he just manifests himself. And that's what we've been hungering and thirsting for. And God is manifesting himself. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. You'll never lift him up without the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know he was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. I understand that. And you can make that application out of that. But also, we need to lift him up. We'll never lift him up to a lost world without the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And again, I say, without him, we can do nothing. But thank God, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Paul said in Philippians 4:13. And so we come to that and think about it tonight. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture, and I pray that you'll listen closely, and I'll try to bring just a few thoughts, and we'll be through, I guess. Who knows? God may get in tonight, and we may stay a while. I don't know. I just want God to have his way. Amen. I said this morning as we come into the meeting that, and I stepped up here to the pulpit, I did not realize what God was going to do at that time, and I don't right now. I just know that I want to be submissive and obedient, and I want God to have his way. And I really believe all my heart that when God, the Holy Spirit, begins to work in hearts of people and begins to do that work that needs to be done, and that is more prevalent when we don't quench him and we don't grieve him. He has more liberty to work in that area. And so I'm sensing something that God's a-doing. And that the Holy Spirit of God is working in our hearts. And thank God for it. And I praise his name. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Stand, please, while I read the word of God. Ephesians 5, and verse number 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye in light in the Lord walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise thou from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We'll stop reading there and bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you, God, tonight that as we hear the rain on the roof, Lord, the rain of heaven has fallen in this place. God, there's been a presence of God in here, in the singing of songs, in testimonies, in prayer. God, I want to tonight bow my head and say thank you and praise you, God, for your presence. Thank you for your love and goodness and mercy unto us. And thank you, Lord God, for thy word that we've just read. And I pray in Jesus' name, as we've today talked about our greatest need. And God, I confess unto you, my greatest need right now is that you fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. Help me, God, to stand in the power of God and preach as you'd have me to do so. Help me forget about everything else and just center in upon the word of God and the things of God. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the presence of him, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, tonight I know it'll all be vain unless he speaks to our hearts. But speak to us tonight. And God, do something for us tonight that will help us. I praise your name and give you glory for what you do. And Lord, maybe somebody here unsaved, somebody's lost. They need Jesus. I pray, Holy Ghost, speak to them and draw them and save them by your grace. And I pray for that one that's cold, indifferent, don't know the joy, not enjoying the things of God, out of the will of God. I pray your will be accomplished in that life. Now have your way in all of our hearts and all of our lives. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The greatest need of our churches tonight is the working of the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts, our lives, and in our church. And again, I rejoice in the fact of young people singing and testifying and praising God, worshiping God, because of the fact that the world will try to tell us, and today there's a great church, I say great, let's put it this way, a large church movement, so-called church movement, that is all geared to the flesh. It's all geared to the things of doing it, you know, mentally and emotionally and getting the flesh worked up, that kind of thing. But aren't you glad there's a real, there's a reality to knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? There's a reality in just being saved, a reality in knowing His presence, a reality in knowing that God is moving in a service, the reality of knowing when God's around. The reality of all of that is to me so precious. And in our church, thank God for the reality of knowing you're saved. I appreciate every testimony of every person here that's been saved. Some got saved after, like I was, after they'd made professions, after they joined the church, after they'd been ducked under water. They got saved later, but thank God they got saved. There's others that got saved, like Brother Micah said over here at a young age, and got saved, and like Brother Chris gave the testimony of that young man. I say, praise God, it's real that they're saved, know they're saved. And tonight, if you don't know you're saved, you don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about being filled with the Spirit of God, because He, the Holy Ghost, does not abide in unsaved people. He convicts unsaved people. He draws unsaved people. He works with unsaved people, but He does not indwell unsaved people. He only indwells those that are saved and comes to abide on the inside. Let me say first tonight, there's one baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't need to be praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, you got it. Amen. What am I looking for anyway? I'm looking for 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, if you would please, in chapter number 12, verse number 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13. I want you to hear this. By the way, on the day of Pentecost, they did not pray down the Holy Ghost. He didn't come because they prayed and begged for Him to come. Jesus said, if I go away, I'll send Him unto you. He came by divine promise. I tell you what they were doing. They were getting ready for His coming. They were getting them, they were trying to get their lives in tune so they could be ready when He came, be vessels meet for the Master's use. And they were, and God did. But notice what verse 13 says of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into the same Spirit. I want you to know that all of us that are saved got baptized into the body and got sealed there. Thank God for it. Amen. And then the morning I got saved, had to stop and think, it was morning and night. The morning I got saved, I want you to know the Holy Ghost, He convicted me, drew me. He baptized me into the body of Christ and sealed me there. I say hallelujah. I praise God for the Holy Spirit coming to indwell. Now, there's many feelings, but one baptism. One indwelling, but many feelings. He indwelt me when I got saved, but there's been many times He's filled us with the Holy Spirit of God. I remember what I heard one time about this fella coming to the altar and saying, Lord, fill me. And he kept coming saying, Lord, fill me. And kept coming saying, Lord, fill me. But he just wouldn't do right. He just wouldn't do right. Finally, a preacher came by him one day while he's saying, Lord, fill me. God, and he said, Lord, don't do it. He leaks. His bucket's got a hole in it. Amen. And so we need to be filled, but we all do leak. We all do come short of the glory of God at times. We all fail to be filled with the Spirit of God all the time. But aren't you glad He doesn't throw you away? Aren't you glad He's still there to help you and let Spirit be real to you? And Mary singing that song, how much we need Him day by day to take our lives and use them for His glory And as we approach every day, we need to approach it with a sense, Lord, I need you today to fill me so that I'll be the vessel that you want me to be and be the light. Remember, I read in scripture here some light, and that light, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. As long as he's in the world, he's the light of the world. But when he went away, he said, ye are the light of the world. And the light of the world now sees our light, and we reflect, we're like the moon. We reflect the light of the sun. And that light goes out, and so gives light to others. In Acts chapter 2, turn there, please. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They spake in languages that they had not learned, but they spake. On the day of Pentecost, the miracle was everybody understood them in their own language. And they understood. But look in chapter number 4, book of Acts, and verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, there he is filled again, said unto them, ye rulers of the people, elders of Israel. Look at verse 31 of same chapter. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. And so he's talking about the fact of being filled many times, and I believe that. And God indwells us, but then he fills us over and over as we are candidates for that being filled with the Spirit of God. And this morning I was doing a comparison, and we was looking at this filling of the Holy Spirit compared to being drunk with wine where in excess. And let me say this, and I was thinking this afternoon about this, that the man that's not drunk with wine wherein is excess, he can drink some and have some in him. It doesn't overtake his thinking totally. It doesn't overtake his actions totally. It doesn't do all of that, but it may affect him a little bit, and it may be, but it's in him, and it's there. Same way about the Holy Ghost of God. You have as much of the Holy Ghost that you'll ever have. But he wants more of you. Amen. He came to dwell in me when I got saved. But now he wants me to yield myself to him so he can feel every part of my being. Amen. Somebody comes into your house and you invite them in. You say, now, sit down here in the living room, and they sit there. They don't go to your kitchen. They don't go to your bedroom. They don't go anywhere else in the house unless they say, unless you invite them to go somewhere. And in the house, but in our house, we need to say, Lord, you're in. Now we want you to have free run right away of the whole house. Amen. It's yours, so you take all of it and use it like you want to do. He abides with him, but he wants to abide in all of you. He wants to take you and control you. And I realize the fact, the older I get, the more I realize I cannot control myself. I cannot. I need him. He is the only one that can control us and help us in this. Now, as we talk about this filling of the Holy Spirit, I want to try to give you something quickly tonight. I pray that God will help us with it. And an introduction of what I want to say tonight. I don't even know where I am in this message. I got so wound up this morning. But I do want to say this. He indwells us for identification. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, he talked about if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And then later in that chapter, he said that about the Holy Spirit of God, that he identifies with us. He witnesses with us that we are the children of God. Amen. Holy Spirit does that. I'm glad he identifies us as children of God. And how you know you're saved? I know I'm saved by the Word of God because he tells me I am. By the Spirit of God that lives on the inside, I know I am. Amen. He gives witness with my spirit that we are the children of God. In Romans 9:16, he gives us that witness. I say praise God for the witness of the Holy Ghost of God that we are the children of God. Identification. And somebody said, well, I'm saved. But no Holy Spirit dwells within. No Holy Spirit come within. They're not saved. There's no identification. He'll identify you, amen, if you ever get saved. But I want you to know something else about the Holy Spirit when he comes in. Not only for identification, but for liberation, amen. He'll liberate you from the bondage of sin.
I am glad for the liberation that God gives when he comes in. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I like that. Now you can park out for a while and preach. There's liberty to worship, amen. There's liberty to take a running spell, if you please, where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty to testify, like was going on a while ago and out here too. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's just liberty to worship God. I like that, amen. But let me say this also, I want to look at it in the sense of liberation from the bondage of sin. How one time, if you read back in Romans chapter 8, chapter 8, and verse 2, you read about him, liberation, not being in bondage. And he talks about it in verse 14 and 15. And verse 15 talks about we're not in bondage, but we've been a spirit of adoption. And I'm glad, praise God, that we are. And no longer we've been liberated, and we have liberties. Some people think people get saved that they're in bondage and they don't have any joy, and they just have to live, you know, so how you say it? They think everybody's real stiff and real and saved, and everybody just afraid to move or afraid to do anything. That's not how it is. When you're saved, you begin to live. And you're talking about having liberty. Thank God you have liberty. Amen. And praise God, young folk and adults alike, when you're really saved, you have liberty to live for God and do what's right. And when we're living for God and doing what's right, that's joy. That is joy, amen. And I'm glad for that liberation that God gives. And let me say this tonight. I am glad that God helps those that in bondage to sin. He can break the bondage of sin. We're living in a generation that thinks you got to have this and you got to have that to get out and do this and do that. What we need is good dose old time salvation. Let the Holy Ghost of God move in. And when God moves in, let him fill us and use us. And if God's filled you up, I guarantee you there'll be some bondage have to leave. Amen, bondage of sin. If a man's a drunkard and gets saved, I'm glad, praise God, God can set him free. And God can do that. Amen, we'll do that. And you think about this. If a man's a drinking from a living fountain of water, why in the world would he want to take a drink of liquor? Amen. If you've got living water in you and it's a spring springing up, how are you going to thirst for something else like that? When you got that springing up on the inside, I say hallelujah. I'm glad. I didn't say a saved man couldn't take a drink. I'm saying a saved man takes a drink. That living water on the inside springing up, make it so bitter he don't want no. He'll feel so guilty about it, feel so all bad about it. He can't do that. People say they're saved and they drink all the time. They're full of baloney. As a good old Virginia saying, amen. Full of baloney or something else. I don't know what it is, but anyway, amen. They're not full of God. You can't be full of God and enjoy drinking liquor and beer and all that stuff. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, God set you free from that stuff. I'm thankful for the feeling of the Holy Spirit of God that liberates us and sets us free and lets us be free. And by the way, it not only sets us free in a sense of being bondage to sin per se, but it also sets us free in the sense that we don't have to worry about, well, what's this one going to think and what's that one going to think? Praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. I'm glad being saved don't mean you got to sit there and look like you're sucking on a dill pickle. Amen. And sorry that you came to church. I want you to come to church and be glad you came to church. Act like you're glad you got here. Amen. And when you leave out of here, saying it's been good to be here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I'm glad, praise God, for the liberty God gives us. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight for that liberty in him? The blessed, darling Holy Spirit of God that comes to abide. He gives us that identification. He's a tug on the other end. I'm one of his. Tugging on the inside. When they get to singing up here, hey, something inside of me gets a tugging. And saying, I identify with that. When they're singing about being saved, I'm saying, whoop, on the inside, I identify with that. I raise my hand sometimes, and sometimes tears run out of my eyes, and sometimes I'll give a whoop out. And I have been known to stand up and shout. But I'll tell you tonight, I'm glad I got something on the inside that identifies. When people get to talking about Jesus, and people get to singing about Jesus, and people get to singing about being saved, and talking about his prayer, I've got a tug from another world on the inside. And then, thank God, I know I've been set free. I'm glad, thank God, I'm free. And tonight, you could live in the country that's in bondage. You could be wherever you are. Daniel and three Hebrew children. Down, I've been speaking out of Daniel. And they were in bondage, as it were, but they were free. Amen. I'm glad you being somewhere like that and still be free. Amen. It doesn't make any difference where you are. You can still be free. Brother Bill, those men you win to God, or Jesus saves, let's put it that way. You witness to them. God does the saving. And when they get saved, they may be locked up in a cell, but they're free. Amen. They're free. I'm glad, praise God, I like that freedom God gives and sets us free. Amen. But not only does he do all of that for us, as he helps us to identify with and liberates us, but thank God he preserves us. Amen. I didn't say pickle, gee, I said he preserves you. Amen. And that preserve, and Ephesians 4:30, I've mentioned it several times today, talking about the Holy Spirit, you just can't help yourself. But it talks about grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Amen. Don't grieve him, don't quench him, but let him have his way. And you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You preach, say, preacher, but what if I do this and what if I do that when I lose salvation? How in the world is the devil going to get you and take you to hell if you're saved, born in the family of God, and the Holy Ghost of God sealed you? He baptized you into the body, and then he put a seal on you of the Holy Ghost. How in the world is the devil going to get you anyhow? He'd have to break the seal to get to you. If he ever breaks a seal, he'll have to break God. I'm glad tonight, thank God, he can't break God. He's not going to get to me. I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. In fact is, I'm as good as delivered. In fact is, I am already delivered. I'm already seated with him in heavenly places. My life is hid in Christ, and Christ is at the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost sealed me there. And thank God the devil can't do a thing in the world about it. Every time the devil comes around and tries to tell you, remember what you all used to be, ask him what he's talking about. Amen. God don't remember it. And I'm trying to forget it. Amen. Praise God, but I'm saved. And saved forever. Hallelujah. Now, if you just made a profession and you just got in, God never gave you any real joy. He never indwelt you, never empowered you. Then you never got it. But if you got it, you still got it. Amen. Bring that Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, right over yonder. After everybody gone, nobody here, just me and her. I walked in, she walked in that door, I walked in that one. And I knew something wrong. I kept looking at her. And she said, Papa, I want to talk to you. Hallelujah. I say, glory to God. That make me want to run. I hadn't run in a while. I've been kind of under the weather. But the weather's kind of letting up. I don't hear it raining anymore. Sun's beginning to shine.
Amen, preacher.
There's been a breeze coming through. Been kind of dry. But I'm glad, praise God. It's real, amen. And she saw herself lost without God. Needed Jesus Christ to come in and make her a new creature in Christ. And simple childlike faith trusted Jesus and got saved by the grace of God. I say hallelujah. I'm glad I know I'm saved. Saved, saved. Amen.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah. We got a gentleman back there, he and his wife, started coming a few services ago. He was looking for something, got in here, and got, hallelujah, I look back there. Every time I see him smiling, I see him raising his hand, I think, praise God, hallelujah, that gives me another new jumping inside of me, make me want to preach. Amen, glory to God, and hallelujah. And the Lamb forever, they steal some, won't they? Old time way, amen. till some hungry for it. Young people, there's nothing that'll beat it either. Devil will lie to you and cheat you and rob you and take you out there and trash you, make junk out of you. But let God make something out of you. Let God take you and use you for his glory and make something. How does he do that, preacher? As you yield yourself and be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. You don't need to be filled up with all the worldly stuff. These things out there you can enjoy. These things that we enjoy along the way may not be in church all the time, but you've got to be careful what you enjoy. And you can't let it take away from God in your life. Anything that'll take away from God in your life, y'all are junkie. Amen. Get rid of it. Let God have full right away in your heart, fill you up, run you over, and let you go for God and say hallelujah and praise God while you do it. Amen. I say glory, glory, glory. I don't know about you tonight. I'm getting that breeze again. Amen. I'm glad. Praise God for he, the Holy Spirit, that lives within. He lets me identify. He gives me that touch inside. He lets me be a light to the world. I'm glad he does. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad he sets me free. I'm glad for that. I'm glad he sealed me. I'm glad he preserves me. I'm thankful for all that. But let me get to where I wanted to get to tonight, if God will let me get there. But everything I've said up this place, I'm thankful I've said it. I wanted to say it. God wanted me to say it. And this morning, I can't get over it now. I can't explain what God did. I just want you to know God did. I want you to know tonight God's still doing. And somebody mentioned to me about revival. I want to see revival so bad. And I can taste it, amen. And I'm thinking here in Gateway Baptist Church, and they said to me, said, maybe start right here across our nation. That'd be a good place to start. It'd start somewhere in some place. But I tell you why, whether other churches catch on, whether anybody else gets anything or not, I want God to have me. I want to be a yielded vessel. I want to be a vessel God can use. I want to be where God can, and a place spiritually where God can speak to my heart, and God can help me have the burden I need to have for sinners, and he can lead me where I need to go, help me do what I need to do, give me the strength I need to do it in, and help me along the way. I say amen. I am glad for all that. I don't know where I was. Anyway, I'm talking about contrast and comparing with drunk and being filled with the Spirit. But let me tell you tonight, this, and I'll try to, I don't know what I'll try to do. Anyway, I'm going to tell you the conditions for being filled. Amen. Let's talk about those. There are some conditions to be filled with the Spirit of God. You just don't come in, blunder in anyway and say, fill me up now, Lord. People like to, a lot of times what people think about being filled is, it's so you can be like Brother Mark and run and shout. And that's good. I want you to know I appreciated that. Fact is, I needed that. I want to see him have that run fit. Amen. I don't even ever get over it. Amen. I don't want him to do it because I said to do it. I want him to do it because God said to do it. But I wouldn't do it when God said to do it. And I saw some people raising their hands. Some cried and testified. I don't ever quit that. Amen. Don't ever want to get over that. But some people think about being filled with the Spirit of God is just so that we can do things like that. Let me say this to you tonight. God does not fill you for so you can shout. And God does not fill you so you show you some kind of a sign. God does not fill you for a show. God fills you so he can use you for his glory and to magnify the Son of the living God. That's why God fills us. He doesn't fill us to make us feel good. And some folk think, well, if I get filled, I'll feel good all the time. No, no. God doesn't fill you to make you feel good. God fills you so you'll be a servant for him. Now, let me say this. You got to be a clean vessel. A clean vessel. I remember this morning I picked up this cup. I looked in it and I saw water. There's not a rock in there. There's not any dirt that I see of. I don't think Tim even spit in it. And it looks clean enough to drink. Good water. Clean cup. Good water. If that cup was dirty, I wouldn't drink out of it. If that cup had rocks in it, I wouldn't drink out of it. I'd be real thirsty if I did. Fact, you know what I'm saying? And you couldn't get that all that water in there if it had rocks in it. They stacked in there real tight and dirt in there and rock and glass and all that kind of stuff. You couldn't get much water in there. If our lives are filled up with dirt and filth of the world, a lot of times we come to church on Sunday and we're so filled up with Saturday and Friday night, all that stuff, and God can't fill us and use us for His glory. Amen. Oh, praise God. When He sees that cup, and I like that song that says, "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord." Amen. He wants a clean cup lifted up. He wants that that's pure and clean. I read to you, and I'm not going to take time to reread all this, but in our text, chapter 5, verse 3, "But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetous, let not once be named among you, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking." And then talks about no whoremongers and all that kind of stuff. And then verse 6, and it says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words." Verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." I say amen. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." And verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools," but as wise. Circumspectly means walk so people can watch you and look at you closely and not find all that fault and sin in your life. Amen. I know some people are always looking for something they can find fault in. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. But sometimes our lives are so filled up with other stuff, it just shows up on us. And we ought to get it out of our lives so it wouldn't be there, and then it wouldn't be showing up. What ought to show up is that God kind of love that comes out of us and God's Spirit, amen. And Moses came off the mount, been with God. He glowed so much he had to cover his face up. So they... Hallelujah, I hadn't reached there yet. Hadn't got there yet, but boy, wouldn't it be so good to get so much of God around you and so much of God on you and so much of God in you as you just got to glowing, amen. You ever been around somebody that's glowed for Jesus? Amen, it just showed up on them. I say, praise God, I like it, amen. And I'm telling you tonight that we need to be clean vessels. I want you to turn with me, please, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. I want to read a few verses. Listen to this. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from evil." That's plain enough. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified," that means set apart, "and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work." I say hallelujah. Praise God and the Lamb forever, amen. "Flee you for lust," it says, "and follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them call on the Lord out of a pure heart." I say tonight to you, we need to be a clean vessel. We need to flee you for love. We need to let God have his way in our hearts or life and be a vessel God can meet for the master's use. Amen. What can God do with you anyhow? What's God doing with you? That'd be a good question to ask. And if we're not a vessel meet for the master's use, then we're just kind of set aside. Sometimes people get put on a shelf and they just sit there and do nothing. We ought to be a vessel God can use. A vessel filled up with God and running over and catch it in the saucer, amen. And let God use us for his glory and for his honor. We got to be a consecrated vessel. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Which is reasonable, sir, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in unity of mind. Prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God." I'm saying tonight to you, if you're not consecrated for the use of God, then God's not gonna fill you. If you don't want God to use you, then God's not gonna fill you. You got to be consecrated to his service, set apart for his service. And mean that you want to be a witness for him. You want to tell others about him. You want your light to shine. You want to be what you ought to be for the glory of God. Then you become a candidate. But if you don't want that and you don't mean to do that, then you're not going to be filled with the Spirit of God. But oh, praise God. If you really want to be a witness, if you really want God to use you, you need to be consecrated unto God and say, God, here I am. I want you to use me. I want you to help me. I want you to do something for me. Praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. I'm glad for that. And I guess I'm trying to alliterate it, so I'll just say claim it now. I'm not talking about this name it, claim it business. I'm talking about if you want to be filled with the Spirit of God, you got to check up on your life and do some confessing and confess some sin, get some things right. If you know something wrong, get it right. That's good preaching. Fact is, I feel so good about that, I'd almost get my leg up to that. Not quite, almost. If we know something wrong, we need to fix it, amen. If it's something we can do to help, don't worry, won't eat, I'm not going to do it. She looked just a little bit worried there for a minute. I worry about myself sometimes. Praise God. Showers are blessings ahead, and these showers on the inside coming. What I'm talking about tonight is going to be filled, be a clean vessel. Be cleaned up. Make sure our lives are clean, not filthy or clean, unclean in some kind of way. And that's not just drinking liquor. Maybe in the thought life. Hey, man, it may be in some desire. It may be in some not so outwardly, but it's inwardly. And we need God to work on us and help us so that we can get beyond that. And then be consecrated for God's use. And then ask God to help us, because he'll help us, have to help us clean ourselves, because we can't do that ourselves. Have to have God to help us show us ourselves, because we can't do that ourselves. And then we need God to help us be consecrated unto him, because present our bodies a living sacrifice. You can't even do that by yourself. You need God to help you. Amen. I need God to help me. Without him, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Then I take him at his word. But I want him to help me be all that. Then I want to ask him, God, every day I want you to help me be filled with the Spirit of God so I can be what I ought to be for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now let me give you real quickly, and I'll be through here in a minute. A consequence of being filled. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kind, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hey, praise God. That's Galatians 5, 22, 23. Aren't you glad the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy? It's not bickering and gossiping. It's not backbiting. It's not all that kind of stuff. It's not all that grumbling and mumbling and amen. It's joy, peace, long-suffering. Hallelujah! I like a fruit of the Spirit, amen. That be in my life, I can enjoy that kind of thing, amen. And God can use me like that. I say praise God, amen. He helps me walk right. Amen, the Spirit of God does. I'm glad for that. He helps me witness right, amen. And I praise God for that. He not only helps me walk right, live, and witness right, but praise God, he helps me in every other way there is to be helped. He helps me do it. I say praise God for Jesus, amen, and the fact that we can. And fact is tonight, you'll never worship right unless you feel the Spirit. John 4, 24 said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so if you're going to worship God, you got to do it in spirit. And truth. You just don't blunder into worship God. You do it in spirit and truth. We need to pray. We need to get in the Word of God. We need to let God fill us and use us. We need to be those clean vessels so God can have his way in our hearts, our lives. Tonight, let's bow our heads. Close our eyes. And let God speak to us and do for us what he wants to. Today I've tried to deal with this thing about being filled with the Spirit. And I realize a whole lot more could be said. But I've tried to bring it down to a place where we can apply it tonight. This morning God just moved in such a way that he manifested himself. Thank him and praise him for that. Tonight, he's moving in our hearts, our lives, and challenging us that we be the vessel that God wants us to be. I've been preaching along the lines on Sunday nights about the church. And this goes right along with that, because the church's greatest need is to be filled with the Spirit of God. And we are the church that are saved. And if we're not filled, then the church is not filled, and we don't have the power we need to have. Unsaved won't be in our conviction, won't be the work of God that needs to be done, won't be the challenge for missions, won't be the challenge to do what we ought to do, unless we let the Holy Spirit of God fill us and use us. I don't know what you need, but you need something. God's speaking to your heart. Somebody's already come. These others need to come. God's speaking to your heart, and you need to come. You need to do that. She's playing softly. We're going to stand at her feet. Father, I pray tonight that you'd help every individual in this house that you're speaking to, that they'll have the grace of God. Step out and come back. Talk to you. Lord, if they need help, I pray you'd help them. God, ask for that help. They need help from me or someone else, they'll ask somebody for that. God, we know we can pray with them and for them, but it's you that does the filling. I pray in Jesus' name, God, help every individual in this house. Somebody here without Christ, they'll get saved. Those that need to come and confess sin, they'll do so. Those that need to come and say, I just need to yield my life. I've not been concerned enough to yield my life to God. Let God use me. Father, I pray tonight, whatever the need is, you do what needs to be done. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. While we sing, you come. You need to come tonight. You come and obey God. Just do what God says. God help you do what God wants you to do. While we sing, brother.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed.
You need to come, you come.
But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Just a minute, brother Tim. That song says you can only have it as you yield your body and soul. I believe that. God wants yielded bodies, yielded beings to the will of God, for the power of God to work. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed over the hands. Somebody here tonight say, preacher, I know God dealing with my heart. I know that. I didn't come to the altar, but God's dealing with me about something. You'd like to slip your hand up and say, with that, pray for me. Anyone here like that, God bless your heart. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else, quickly slip your hand up and say, with that, I know God's dealing with me about something. I need to raise my hand for prayer. God bless you. God bless your heart, and God bless you. God bless your heart. Anybody else, quickly, before we pray. God bless your heart. God bless you. Anybody else, quickly. Father, I thank you tonight, God, for the word of God, the privilege we have to preach, the privilege we have to share. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, God, what you're doing in the church. Thank you, God, for what you're doing around. I praise you and give you all the glory and all the honor. Thank you, Lord, for those who come and pray and whatever they're praying about. I pray you'd help them, encourage them, strengthen them. Those that lifted their hands and they said, God dealing with me about something, I want you to help me pray about. I pray for them, and I ask in Jesus' name having your way, magnifying yourself, getting glory and honor and praise. We'll thank you and praise you in what you do. Thank you now, God, for all that you do for us. I pray, God, you'd help us yield ourselves in obedience. God, you've filled us and used us for your glory, your honor. We want to be a consecrated vessel, clean vessel, meet for the Master's use. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to keep you but just a few minutes, and we're going to go to the house or go visit somebody or go pray or go do something. I don't know how long I preached tonight. Didn't mean to preach too long, but I wanted to do what God